Blog Talk Radio.
Stay tuned for a powerful show today. We got Janina Nina Hall today. She's going to rock the house. All right, family, we're going to get started off with Mirror by Layla Hathaway. You got to make the mirror your best friend.
Bitter hearts don't hold a smile. Troubled minds will wear you down. Use your past to get ahead. Hold your tears and think instead. You have to find a way to make it. These clouds are letting up for a while. Sometimes you gotta make the mirror your best friend. Maybe then you'll find some peace within. Stop hiding yourself. Stop hiding yourself. Love yourself when no one else can. Yourself you will achieve. Just go on and brush your shoulders off. This bridge is one that you must cross. You have to find a way to make it. These clouds are letting up for a while. Sometimes you gotta make mirror your best friend. Maybe then you'll find some peace within. Stop hiding yourself. Stop hiding yourself. Love yourself when no one else can. If you love yourself, you don't need nobody else.
Don't need nobody else.
Find some peace within. Stop hiding yourself. loving yourself. Love yourself like no one else can. Stop hiding yourself. Stop hiding yourself. Love yourself like no one else can. Hiding yourself, love yourself like no one else can.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. And as we get ready to center our mind and center our thoughts, I want to just stop and send true love into Miss Doris Reddick's hospital room, as we know that she is perfect, whole, and complete. Sending lots of love into Claudette and her family as they unfold this beautiful healing journey with her mom. And so, family, I just want you to keep Miss Doris Reddick in your heart, focusing the light and sending love. And we also want to send love into Laura Muhammad, Carla LaVoe Hawkins, and their family and friends. Laura, it's just a beautiful spirit, as she has allowed her mom to move into spirit world, and as God's arm has just gracefully received the love of Laura's mom into the heavens. We just want to send love into that family. Something going on with my throat. Send love into the family this morning, recognizing that God is all there is. So I want us to focus on our breath this morning. And as we center our mind, I also want to send some love into Miss Z this morning. She got her new place, celebrating and honoring the gift of her new beautiful place she's moved into. Wow, all the newness. Thank you, God, for new homes and new cars and new books. And wow, and today is Janine Nina Hall's birthday. I just want to recognize her birthday, honoring that she is a gift to the planet. So we're going to get ready and center our mind, and recognizing the one power and the one presence. Recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. Oh, my God. And on this line, we recognize this grace spirit known by many names as God, the good, the omnipotent, and everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. And so as we harness the energy of one love in this collective consciousness, recognizing that we are all that God is, we just want to center our mind on breathing right now, because sometimes we forget to breathe. You know, there's power in the breath, family. So as we center our mind, I want you to just take in this deep breath, breathing in through the nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight. Then I want you to remember to breathe deep into the diaphragm and deep into the heart. And then I want you to release the breath, recognizing that there's power in the breath. Sometimes we forget to breathe, family. Let's breathe, family. Be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe. And release. But know that I am, that I am God. Just breathe, family. Let's breathe. And release. Divine Mother, Father, God. Precious and Holy Spirit. As I come before you today, speaking from the transcending power of my I Am presence, knowing and asking, let every word of my mouth come, Holy Spirit. and every meditation of my heart come from the higher mind presence, asking that it would be so acceptable in thy sight. As I invite and invoke the presence of the higher mind God, the God Goddess consciousness, the beloved I Am presence, come, Holy Spirit, and bless this operation, this prayer, these words, as I come before you today, asking you to remove every human-created ego, God, every human-created thought, God. Oh, I'm asking you to come and allow me to come empty right now, God. I'm asking you to give me a clean heart, Holy Spirit. I'm asking you to allow me to come in the presence of this consciousness right now with a clean heart, renewed spirit, God. And let me come empty as you feel the presence of my I Am presence to the overflow, God, that I will only speak the words of you, that these words will be your words, God. And I'm asking you for a fresh anointing upon this call right now, God. I'm asking you for a fresh anointing upon each and every person under the sound of my voice, God. I'm asking for an anointed thought today, God. I'm asking you to speak to somebody's heart today, God. Oh, speak to somebody's heart, God. I'm asking you to rain down your love upon each and every person under the sound of my voice, God. I'm asking for a special blessing upon Miss Doris Raddick as she moves and navigates through her healing journey, God. I'm asking you for a special blessing around Claudette as she could, and her family as they support her mom in her healing journey, God. Oh, Father, Mother, God of this great universe, I'm asking you to bless Laura Muhammad and her family, God, as they go through the process of the releasing of the physical presence of her mother, God, that they will be comforted by your love, God, that they will be comforted in knowing that there is no separation in spirit, that there is no separation in your love, knowing that once they speak the name of their loved one in the heart, they can feel the presence of those who left the planet. We just ask for the blessings and the comfort around the family, God, and the friends of those who loved Laura's mom. I ask you to bless Z's new apartment, God. I ask you to send love and let it rain down in her space, God, that every crevice, every corner, every space that is filled and made manifest by the glory of you, as your love will permeate every part of her apartment, God, that she will be made abundantly whole and abundantly loved and abundantly secured and filled by your presence every time she walks into the place of the gift that you have given her as an apartment. God, I'm asking you to bless Janine today as she comes forth in her story today, as you have given her this day as her earth day. God, I actually ask you to bless this day, that this will be the best blessed birthday that she's ever had, God. I'm asking you to let this be the best day of her life today, God, that she will never see a day like this again, God, that it will only get better and better and sweeter each day, God. I'm asking you to touch her business, touch her gift, touch every woman that will come in her possession to understand that they are a gift from you, God. And as she brings forth more awareness into domestic violence, that people will understand more of the psyche and the words that we should support when we're around women who have experienced, or even men who have experienced this journey, God, we ask you to bless those who are on this path and those who will be blessings to those who will experience this. God, I'm asking you to bless her business, bless her poetry, bless her words, bless her opportunity to give to those who will hear her words, God. I'm asking you to bless her event on Saturday, God, that every person who get up there speak their story, that their stories will penetrate somebody's heart, God, to remind them that the only way we should treat ourselves and others is love, God. I'm asking you to rain down your thoughts upon us today, God. I'm asking you to rain down your love upon us right now, God. I'm asking you to raise the vibratory energy of this call, that this call will be a blessing to somebody's heart today, God. That this call will be a blessing to somebody's mind today, God. That this call will expand and transcend the airwaves, that the world will come to know this call today, God. I'm asking for your blessing, knowing that it is already done, because you said we have not because we ask not. But what's even more powerful in Isaiah, you said even before I speak a word, you said even before I call, my prayers were answered. So today, I ask you to rain down your love upon each and every person, God. I'm asking for your anointing upon each and every person, God, that everybody under the sound of my voice will be so anointed. They'll be anointed with the anointing of Abraham, that they will be so blessed that even the blessed will call them today, bless God. I'm asking for an anointing of Solomon, God, not just for wealth, but the wisdom to move your kingdom of finances forward, God, on earth, God. I'm asking you for a blessed abundance upon those under the sound of my voice, God. I'm asking for a blessed, profuse winds of abundance coming, financial substance blowing their way, unexpected and expected blessings of money substance coming from every direction, God. I'm asking for your profuse winds of abundance to touch those under the sound of my voice, God. I'm asking for you to come today, God, and bring forth a blessing that will blow and wow each and every person under the sound of my voice, God. I'm asking you to open up your doors, your windows, your heavens, God, and pour out a financial substance that will blow everybody's mind, that it won't even be room enough to receive it, God, that we will touch those who are in need by the blessings that you have given us, God, that we will have discernment on how to spread the blessings that you have given us, God. I'm asking you to come, Holy Spirit, and blow your profuse winds of abundance, that you will thrust us into our place of blessing right now, Holy Spirit, with supernatural, explosive favor over our life, supernatural, explosive blessings, God. Oh, let the blessings just rain down upon us, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking for restorations in marriages. To somebody need a restored marriage today, God. I'm asking you to send your angels of love into their relationship, God. Somebody's waiting on the divine lovemate, God. I'm asking you to send your angels of love upon them right now, God. Somebody needs you today, God. And I'm asking you to speak to their heart, speak to their mind, as this call will evolve into the blessing, as we make manifest the glory of you in this call today, God. I say, do your stuff in the mighty consciousness of love. We say amen, 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 amen. Good morning, God. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning to all the birds, the bees, the flowers, the trees, the sun, the moon, the stars, the land, the soil. Good morning to the earth, the wind, the fire, the water, the ethers. Good morning, universe. Oh, good morning, love. And good morning to our most beneficent angels. As we invite and invoke the angels, archangels, ascended masters, master guides, and spirit guides into this call, we say good morning to our unseen committee. You know, those beautiful energies that God sent to the planet just for us. And so we invite and invoke them to this call this morning. And as we stop in this right now moment, and as we pay homage to the beautiful energies and spirits, you know, I always stop and thank God for the beautiful vessel that carried me for 9 months and was part of the journey to have me be deported to the earth. And I'm so grateful as I send love to my mother, Miss Anastasia McAdoo. And I always stop and honor Mama Colette Grant. She midwifed this call. She was the one that just said, come on, you can birth it. She held the baby in her arms and said, you can do it, Janine. You can do it, even when I didn't know I could do it. Even when I didn't see a way, she saw a way. She always said to me every single day, you can do it. Thank you. And she honored the call every day. And so, Mama Colette, I send you lots of love, thanking you for the presence of your energy as we invite you into the call this morning, as we invite Miss Anastasia McAdoo and all of your ancestors and known and unknown ancestors. We invite them into this call knowing that our ancestors have sacrificed their lives and gave up a lot for us, and we are the dream of the ancestors today. So as we just stop and pay homage, and as you may speak the name of those known ancestors in your life, we invite them into the call. Spouses, parents, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, those who walked the planet before us, those who sacrificed their lives. We say thank you and we honor you and we invite you into the call this morning as we send love into the descendants of those who will walk this journey behind us. As we send love into the legacy that we will leave behind, we say thank you. And so as I stop this morning to honor each and every one of you this morning, good morning, Love Journey family. Good morning, as I honor your presence this morning, as the God in me greets and honor the God in you, as the light in me greets and honor the light in you, as the love in me greets and honor the love in you, and as the goddess in me greets and honor the goddess in you, I say good morning. Welcome to the Love Journey. Welcome to another episode of the Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. We're going to get started today. And let me tell you, we got a phenomenal guest speaker. Today is her birthday, too. And if you've been on the call before, you've heard her story of domestic violence. She's having a powerful event here in Chicago on Saturday where many people will stand on the stage and tell their story, the story of how they made it through, the story of overcoming, and the story of the journey back to loving themselves, realizing that they truly are the gift to the planet. You see, sometimes we have to walk a path so that we can be a blessing to others. And Janine happened to be one of those people who had to walk a path when she found herself in the hospital. They didn't know she was going to make it. They thought she had left the planet. She was beat with a gun upside her head. And she remembers when she lost consciousness. You may have heard her story, some of you. Some of you are newer to the call. You may not have heard her story. But I tell you, this young lady is a gift to the planet. She's a poet. She's a writer. She writes plays. She writes poetry. And I tell you, I want you to put your hands together as we invite, also it's her birthday, family, as we invite this beautiful spirit back to the call, who happens to be and have the same name as my aunt, spelled just like it, Janine Nina Hall, family.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's my birthday.
Good morning. Yes, it is.
Good
yes,
morning,
is.
Janine. How are you?
Good, good.
Oh, my
good.
God. I have been celebrating since yesterday.
Well, let me listen to that a little bit.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, that's so nice.
Happy birthday.
Yes, oh my God.
Celebration.
I'm over here share dancing. All right.
Happy birthday, Janine. Happy birthday, happy birthday. We want to talk a little bit about your story. We're going to talk about what you're doing on Saturday. We're going to talk about your new journey of opening up your business that help other women who come through domestic violence. And we want to talk about your dreams and aspirations, what you want to do with your company and how you want to support others. But let's start off with your story, just a little bit. We won't stay long on it, but there are a lot of new callers, and some people don't know your story, Janine. We know that it's, you know, you were at work one day and how it just, you had this wonderful relationship and didn't have any signs or where at the time you didn't see any signs other than this was going to be an amazing relationship until one day he called you at work, right?
Yes. Yes.
And he had this different kind of energy, and you didn't understand where he was coming from, right?
Right.
So let's get started.
You are
you tell the story. He called you at work.
Okay. Yeah.
After what, about 2 years? You all were in 2 years of a relationship, right?
Three years. Yeah, I was in a relationship with a guy for 3 years, and the first 2 years were perfect, no problems, no arguments, no nothing. It was just perfect. And then the third year, it was like all hell broke loose, and I couldn't understand where it was coming from and why. And every day we would argue. He would, you know, fight me every day and pistol whip me on the regular like it was a sport or something. And just, I don't know, he just went from Dr. Jekyll to straight up Mr. Hyde, like ASAP, immediately. And I didn't know where it was coming from. He tried to break me, you know, break me down and take away my character and take away my power, which for a while he did have my power, until I decided to get it back. He had abused me like every day until this one particular day it got like fatal. I tried to get away from him, and in the process of me leaving him, I forgot my mom used to send me FedEx packages. So he cut the address, I guess, off of one of the boxes. I don't know. Came to Chicago, found me, and in the process of that, he made me come out to my house.
Janine.
Mm-hmm.
Janine, let's hold on for a minute. So people can know, you had left Atlanta and escaped Atlanta one night and came to Chicago to be with your mom, thinking that he didn't know where your mom lived, and he found you at your mom's house one day. So we can get people to understand the story.
Yeah, he found me at my mom's house.
You were at work one day, and it was payday.
I was at work one day. Right, I was at work one day. I was doing collections. Everybody at work knew what was going on with me. But I lied and told them I was okay, and when I had a bruise, told them I burned myself, and you know, the typical excuses that we use. That's what I used them all until I ran out. And I just got tired one day, and I was like, I can't do this anymore. And I was in Atlanta by myself. I didn't have no family. My family was in Chicago and scattered in other states. So I went to work, and I told my supervisors what was really going on. They kind of knew because the way he would call the job and threaten me, and my supervisors would have to tell me, look, you have to tell him to stop calling because, you know, he almost made me lose my job by the way he was calling and how aggressive he was getting with my supervisors. And so I told them what was going on, and I said, well, if I make enough money today, I'm going to go buy me a car, and I'm going to Chicago, and I'm not coming back. I left everything there. I didn't care about none of that stuff. I just cared about my life because I just felt like it just was not going to end well. So I got a car, ended up making enough money. I bought me a purple 98 Lumina and drove all the way to Chicago by myself. I got to Chicago for a couple of days, almost like a week. I was at my mom's house peaceful. And then one day I was walking down her parking lot, and I was going to her house. So I heard someone call my name, but I'm like, no, this cannot be him, because he's in Atlanta. So as I was walking closer to her door, I heard it again. This time it was clearer. And I looked, and like, oh, my God. So I took off running, and he ran behind me and had his hand on my hand on my mom's door and had a gun to my back. And told me that if I don't go into the house and tell my mother that I lied about him, that he's going to kill me and he's going to kill her. At the time, I really wasn't thinking about me. I was thinking about my mom more, because I didn't want nothing to happen to my mother. So I went into the house and told her that I lied about him. And it just went from there. She had a look on her face like, I know something not right. But, you know, she was going along with it because I was trying to signal to her, like, what was, you know, what he had and everything like that. So he just all of a sudden just blurted out, like, B-I-T-C-H, you know, look, you sit down, she sit down. If you guys say this or say that, I'm going to shoot both of y'all. And it just was like, it just turned crazy. So anyway, maybe like a day or so, my mom, I think she went down to, like, the laundry room to get her laundry that she was drying or something. But she, I thought she was down there, but she ended up leaving and leaving for a while. And while she was gone, he made me go back, you know, made me get in the car and made me go back to Atlanta. I was like, well, my mom, I don't care about your mother. I don't care. You're going to get back in that car. Pulled out his gun. I got back in the car. Pistol whipped me. It was just bad. So I got back. He made me get back on the road. And once we got back to Atlanta, it was like, as soon as we touched Georgia's soil, it was like bad. He started hitting me, and he got to the point so bad to where his mom, she tried to help. He started fighting her, too. So both of us now are fighting him. So, of course, naturally, when the police come, he's gone. He's nowhere around. So maybe like a week or so, I stayed at her house before I went back home. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to go back to my house. I think everything will be okay. I'm going to go back and get, like, my important papers that I left, because everything else I didn't care. I was on the leave. But I wanted my important papers and stuff to take back to Chicago with me. So when I went to the house, it was quiet. Like, I didn't think nobody was there. It was quiet. Everything was exactly how I left it. And as I walked past my bathroom door, he came out from behind me and choked me. And it got to the point where we both tripped and fell. And now it's like, I'm on my knees. He on his knees behind me, choking on me and stuff. So after that, it was like I had kept going in and out, in and out, in and out. And then the last thing I remember was doing number one, like the kids say, number one and number two at the same time. And that's all I remember. And, yeah, but he tried to break me, but it wasn't going to happen because I'm a child of God. And I had his armor on that day because he protected my life. And here I am talking to you guys. So God is good, and he really does. You know, he's there. When you think he's not there, he is there. And that's my story. That's a little bit of my story, guys.
You ended up in the hospital, right? When you woke up, you went
to the hospital. Yeah, I ended up going to the hospital. Yeah, I don't know who found me or how I got there, but I ended up in the hospital, and they was like, you know, Miss Hall, we thought we almost lost you. And, yeah, so that's all I remember, guys.
So how did you start getting – what were the steps that you took to get you – to reclaim your life back?
The most important thing was I had to learn how to take my power back, because it's like once somebody has your power, they have total control over you. So once you take that back, it's like, I don't know, it's like you just get like a breath of fresh air, a breath of fresh air. You just get like a sense of peace, and it's just like everything just comes together. You get your strength back. You know, you're more humble in life. And it's just like through this situation that I've been through, it's like I learned not to complain. I don't complain about anything. I love life. And I'm trying to do everything that I can. Like they say, it's not what you did. It's not how long you lived your life. It's what you did with it while you was here. So I'm trying to leave a good mark.
So, Janae,
to people. Mm-hmm.
You say you took your power back. But that's such an ambiguous statement. What does it look like to take your power back? Were you praying? Did you go get support? Were there centers you went to? I mean, what does that really look like? What does it mean to take your power back? And how does that look?
It means that I was praying. It means that I wasn't going to let anybody take control over my life anymore. I took my control back over my own life. And I was my own voice. I wasn't going to let nobody else talk for me or dress me anymore or, you know, tell me what I can and cannot do. I just learned to control my, like I said, control my own life. I'm the controller of my life. God is the controller of my life. But can nobody else, you know, tell me what to do or how to do it or anything like that anymore? Because I just... not going to allow it to happen. So that's really what it means.
So did you have support?
I took my strength back. I did.
Did you have a support system? Did you go to domestic violence shelters? Or you just kind of prayed and
I prayed and tried to understand, just have my own understanding of what just happened to me. And then, like, another thing, I write my poetry. So my poetry literally is my therapy. You know what I mean? I write, like, if I'm going through something or whatever, I'll write and everything. I will write and pray and, you know, talk to my mom. My mom was like one of my biggest support systems.
Your mom was the biggest support system, and you used writing as your therapy. I know you said you opened up your own 501c3 where you help other women. What is the stuff that you take to help other women coming through domestic violence?
What I do is, like, I have like a lot of friends that have domestic violence shelters, and through watching them and what they do, I was able to try to come up with my own purple pieces that I'm working so hard right now to get my, you know, my 501c3, so I can start it. You know, what we do is, like, me and my friends, we literally come together as a team. What we do is we'll ask, like, the lady, you know, or we'll talk to the lady, because sometimes, you know, when you call a domestic violence hotline, you really don't have time to ask a lot of questions. You just got time to, you know, hey, where are you? And stay there, I'm on my way, basically, you know, to come get the person. So what we do is we just try to find, you know, ladies or men even that's, you know, been through domestic violence. And what we do is we go get them. We go get them, and we take them to somewhere that's safe immediately, and, you know, let them stay there as long as they need to. The children, you know, whatever. Even if they have a pet, hey, take your pet with you. It's fine. So that's what we do. We try to save lives, because just like God saved my life, I literally want to devote my life to saving others, like He saved mine.
You know, Kim does a fundraiser every year, the Singer Kim, and I support it every year. They say, and every time I go, one of the things they say is domestic violence is the number one cause of homelessness. Do you see a big rise in homelessness because of domestic violence?
I do. I really do.
So
I really,
when you...
No, I was about to say, it's getting to the point now where every time I hear something on the news, you know, like regarding a lady or something like that, like, it's to the point now where I'm like, domestic. That's what I say, like, domestic. I bet you it's domestic, you know. Domestic violence is like every 2 seconds someone is going through domestic violence and passing away from it. And my goal is to save as many people as I can from, you know, passing away from domestic violence. And you said the Singer Kim? I didn't know that. That's nice.
Yeah, he does it every year in Detroit in the summertime on Mack Street, Mack and 7th, I think it's called, in Detroit, right under the bridge where he was homeless. And every year he does a big fundraiser. We bring canned goods, clothes. You bring all kinds. The concert is free. All you do is bring donations to get in. It's really nice, and they talk about the statistics. They say that domestic violence is the number one reason for homelessness, but they also say that our young girls are a part of dating domestic violence. I don't know how you work the words, but they say a lot of our young girls are experiencing domestic violence in their relationships. Have you seen a big rise in that?
I'm sorry, I do apologize to you. I didn't know that you said earlier that homelessness is, I didn't know you were asking me about homelessness. But yes, homelessness, it definitely is. I'm going to touch on that first. It definitely is, because I was homeless because of that situation. I mean, I was homeless, not during this time, but earlier in that year that I told you that, you know, it was bad. Because he threatened my landlord, and my landlord put us out. And not only did my landlord put us out, that day I lost my job because he was acting a plumb fool, excuse my French. He even went to my job and was trying to attack my supervisor at my job this one day. So this day I lost my job and I lost my house because of him. And for a long, 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 long time, I got away from him. And I just, like I said, I didn't have no family there. So I went to, it wasn't really like a shelter. It was like a rooming house, kind of, like a rooming house. And thank God I had enough money saved up in my account to where I can, you know, pay the rent. I think it was like maybe, for me, since I was a single lady, like $65 or $60 a week, something like that. So I was able to take care of that until I was able to pay my, you know, my own rent. But for a while, it took me a while to find that rooming house. So, yeah, I understand how it is to live on the streets, going in bathrooms and restaurants and just to wash up and stuff like that. So I understand that. So, yeah, that is true. And then another thing as far as, like, teenagers go, a lot of teenagers, I think they see domestic violence, but it's like they're too ashamed, like, once it happens to them. I mean, like, because I see a lot of teenagers, like, you know, boys and girls, like, play fighting and, you know, everything like that. And to me, that's kind of where it starts. If you play fighting with somebody, I don't get that, because I know a teenager that goes to Foreman High School right now, and she told me she's in domestic violence, and she told me that's how it started with her and her boyfriend. They started, like, playing around with each other and, you know, stuff like that. Until one day he got serious with her and punched her in her face for real. And she says it just kind of, like, threw her back, like, kind of put the breath out of her, kind of, because she didn't understand, like, what was going on or why did he do this, you know. So, yeah, it's definitely happening with teenagers.
They also said that it's happening with teenagers, and they're not, you know, they think that it's a way of life, like it's normal behavior. Like, so when we look at the Chris Rihanna kind of situation, you saw when we had a lot of conversations surrounding it that a lot of the young girls found it to be a normal experience or an okay, and how, you know, like, oh, whatever. It wasn't a serious thought process that they should not be hit. Like, it's normal to fight in a relationship. And I thought, wow, wonder what's giving our children the idea that it's okay to be hit or fight, and that, you know, it was okay for Chris to hit Rihanna the way he did. I mean, according to what we saw. I'm not, you know, but I'm just saying it is really interesting. And I was just wondering, have you seen a rise in that, or do young girls even call in about domestic violence?
Yeah, I know. Actually, I know a lot of young girls that that have been through it, and you're right. They do think it's normal because, like I say, again, they play fighting or they seen it happen in their, you know, household with their moms or sisters or something like that. So they see that, you know, their sisters or moms, like, you know, mom's not gonna leave dad. In a lot of households, the mom's not gonna leave the dad because sometimes the dad is the breadwinner, but sometimes even if the dad is not the breadwinner, if the mother was the breadwinner, the dad, you know, is so controlling that he'll make her, you know, stop working. And they see this, and they see that, you know, mom will leave for so long, and then mom will come back, or sister will leave, and then sister will come back. So they see this happening on a regular basis, and yeah, they do think it's okay. They really think it's okay. So now when it happens to them, it's like, you know, I can't tell my mom because she's going through it, or I can't tell my sister because she's going through it. So what they do is they'll go to, like, a counselor or something. But to me, it's hard to talk to somebody about a situation if you've never been there. You know what I mean? To me, it's just, like, super hard. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they can go to the counselor or the principal or something like that, but what if the counselor or the principal never been through it? And it's like, how could you really help heal this child if you've never really been through it? Or how can you help heal this child if you let them see that it's okay, you know, to go back and forth, or, you know, to take this from, you know, from somebody? How could you do it? So that's what me and my team, we're trying to do. We're trying to, you know, stop that cycle and break it right now because it needs to be broken. And we're trying to, you know, reach out to
many people.
And
what's the name of your organization?
Come on, man.
You got a lot of background noise, Janine, going on.
Purple pieces.
Janine.
You hear me? It's purple
Janine.
Pieces.
Oh, purple pieces. Okay, so why did you name it purple pieces?
Because, first of all, the color purple represents Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and it's my favorite color. It's my favorite color, and on top of that, pieces. This represents like a piece in your life. You know, this represents like a certain piece in your life.
So a certain chapter in your life. So let's hear the poem that you made about domestic violence and your experience.
I'm sorry, Janina. What did you say?
I said, let's hear the poem that you created for the purple piece.
Okay. Actually, I have two poems that I'm going to, if it's okay with you.
Whichever one you want to share, or both, whichever one you want to do.
Okay. This title of this piece is called...
And then you need to speak just a little bit louder so we can hear you.
Okay. Okay. Could you hear me now? Because I got headphones on. I'm sorry.
No. Just speak a little bit in the headphones and speak a little louder. And just let's do it.
Okay. The title of this piece is called Purple. Did you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. We're waiting on you. It's called Purple.
She wanted him, but he wasn't good enough. She wanted him, but he wasn't good enough. That boy was poison. Poison. See, newsflash, she was told that your child is your fast, but she didn't grow up fast. And flash forward, she's grown now. And the childish tendency still won't put him out the house. And newsflash, purple was her favorite color. She thought it was a Gemini thing, but flash forward, she ended up using the color to represent her story. See, he has his own clothing line, White Cedars. His fist abused her. I don't think y'all heard me. I said his fist abused her because nobody hears. The H is silent because nobody hears her. Nobody listens. How does she mysteriously follow her eye? Hello, fist. Let me introduce you to I. Nice to meet you. See, her blood, it doesn't even bleed blood anymore. It bleeds bruise. And just for that, his balls are blue. No sex. See, it was a song that we used to sing as a child. It was a one eye, one horn, flying purple people eater. Sure looks strange to me, one eye, because he would hit her in it. And it was a one eye, one horn, flying purple people eater. Sure looks strange to me, one horn, because it would come out of his skull the angrier he gets. So you can't have a Mr. Purple People Eater. You can't have, because see, he already beat you to it, and everybody knew it. And although while she was singing this song cutely as a child, while not knowing the Mr. Purple People Eater, you were getting her prepared for her future. See, she wore makeup to paint the picture the way her looks used to be. And she wore dark glasses to hide the dark secrets in her life. See, she know I wore makeup to paint the picture the way my looks used to be. And I wore dark glasses to hide the dark secrets in my life. See, I wanted so bad to get away from him, but he had already marked my body with his territory, walking around proud as if somebody was going to ask him for a business card or something. See, purple taught me about self-love. Purple taught me about self-esteem. Purple was the color of the bruises that I wore on me each and every day. It was hard for Purple to counsel a lost and unwanted soul that was brainwashed by he.
See, I would stitch the word purple across my chest, and I would wear it like a badge of honor. And I would bleed purple blood for each and every domestic violence victim who's not here today to tell her story. So the next time you ask me what happened, I'll tell you that my finger is shaped like my 96 Lumina gear shaft because she was on the warpath while it hit me while I was driving. And I'll tell you that the stab wounds on my arms and the stab wounds on my back was because I didn't talk to him. He saw it as a sign of disrespect. And I'll tell you that the pistol whoopings that I endured each and every day to this day still leave permanent headaches. Because on August the 18th, 2001, I got strangled to death, flatlined, gone. And see, God gave him 15 years strong, gave my life back to me, and gave him 15 years strong. So please support Domestic Violence Awareness Month, not just in October, but each and every day, because it supports my song. I'm so glad I made it. I'm so glad I made it. I made it through. I made it through, guys. Peace.
Wow.
And that's purple.
You want to do the other one? Or you?
Yeah, I can do that one. So my, hold on a second. I can't pray a selfish prayer. I care about my brothers and sisters. That's only right. God brought me to the light and redirected my life. So if I have to use every breath in me to help hug others to see that he is real, then I will. The devil tried to kill my soul, but God stepped right in and controlled the situation. Without hesitation, he pumped the blood back in my heart, blew the breath back in my lungs, and gave me a new start. So today, I don't complain. God took all the thoughts out of my brain of hate, hurt, and pain and replaced it with love, strength, and humbleness. So I can truly say that I'm blessed by the best. My sincerity is thoughtful. It's truthful. I passed all God's lie detector tests. So put stress in the headlock. Stop blocking my blessings when the enemy was messing with me. The lesson he has is see, is I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. He speaks through me in all my poetry pieces. He tells me to go and save souls. Tell the ones that don't know me who I am. I will not break. I will take all this world has to offer. I will make it through the storm. I will let God take authority over my life. For years, I have been letting others take charge of my life. And the results in the end is nothing went right. I went from crying at night to holding my pillow for protection type for my soul from the past and my mind from the future picking fights with each other. But once I let go and let God take authority over my life, then that's when I was starting to see the light. You know, everybody in here has a story, a testimony to tell, and you never know how strong you really are until you are going through that situation that you're facing or until you are praying, praising God. You never know. So you're praising, I'm sorry, so you are praying and praising God. You never know. My life goes on a long way, down a long journey, but through it all, my strength has kept me in the race. My humbleness has attacked the devil when he's all in my face. See, the devil is a liar. He might as well retire his horn because my soul has been reborn again. I'm glad God removed the bad taste out of my mouth. He threw away all the waste in my life. So I want to say that I'm throwing blessings over everybody's life tonight, and that's that piece.
All right. Let's talk about your event on Saturday. What is going on? How do you put it together?
This Saturday I am having a birthday concert. So a lot of my friends that did poetry and sing, and now I take that back. These people can't sing, they sang. And I'm going to have, like, comedians and stuff that are going to come and just perform for me. Because it's the theme of my show this weekend is all about me.
So they're going to come and tell their story through song, through poetry. Most of the people that's coming is coming to tell their story.
Yeah, and I have like a few people that's coming to tell their testimonies. One lady is coming to tell her testimony about domestic violence, but my other friend is coming to tell his testimony about how he was in a car accident and the car flipped over like so many times on 290. And how he almost lost his life, so he's coming to tell his story. And yeah, it's going to be a lot of praising, a lot of praying. It's just going to be a real fun, good time. It's going to be this Saturday, May 27th, from 7 to 10 at Living Clean Entertainment. The address to there is
1539 South Pulaski. Again, it's 1539 South Pulaski from 7 to 10. So, yeah. And if anybody want to, you know, keep in touch with me, I'm on Facebook, Janine Anna Hall. I'm on Instagram. I think that's the same on Instagram as well. But, yeah. So, you guys can easily keep in touch with me.
And what time does your event start on Saturday?
From 7 to 10.
From 7 to 10.
Uh-huh, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm. All right. Living Clean Entertainment. You're going to, and it's no price, but there is a what, love donation that you're asking for?
Uh-huh, a $5 donation. Yes, asking for like a $5 donation.
And the donations go to Purple Pieces to help get everything up and running for your organization, right?
Yes, ma'am.
No, why?
I am so excited, you guys. I swear, I am so excited.
You're so excited?
I am so excited.
That's good.
Yes, I am.
Anything
very
you want,
excited.
You want to leave us with today? Any thoughts?
I just want to say, first of all, God bless you guys. If you are going through a situation, I can leave my number with Janine. You guys can call me if you know someone who's going through a domestic violence situation right now, or even if yourself, if you're going through one and you don't have anyone to talk to or have anyone to help you, you just don't know what to do, please give me a call. I have one of my friends, she actually has written a book on the title of her book is actually called How to Get the F Out. So we trust, and we have people on all ends. We have people that can tell you how to get, you know, like a bank account to yourself, or how to go, you know, get like a hotel room or go to a shelter. We have all type of resources. So we're not going to leave you out there alone. We're going to help you to the end, and we're going to stay with you. Like, you know, keep checking and calling and making sure, you know, you're okay and everything is fine. So we're not just going to, like, take you to a shelter and leave you there, and then you don't hear from us or see us no more. No. So we're going to be, you might as well say you got a whole bunch of new best friends, because we're going to be right there by your side and making sure everything is okay with you and your family and your life. So, yeah. So I will leave my number with Janine. She has it. You guys, please contact me if you know somebody or if you're going through it. Yeah.
If anybody.
And I always want to say thank you.
You're welcome. And see if there's any questions, comments, or concerns. Anybody want to make a comment? You can star 6, press 1 if you're on Blog Talk. All right. They're quiet this morning. As you move through, how do people contact your organization to get support? They just call your number?
Yeah, just call my number. Yeah. And once they call me, we're going to get the ball rolling. Mm-hmm.
All right. So the ball rolling. I got somebody text me, do you all support through getting jobs? Do you all help get jobs for the ladies?
Yes.
For the men?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, we do. It's like once somebody calls, it's like, I know you're tired. You need that help. So we don't give people a chance to even change their minds. We move so fast and so quick to get that person out of that situation till it's not funny. So we move, quick. You come, we coming. We're coming.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you have resources in other states or just in Chicago, Illinois?
We have resources in other states as well, because like a lot of our ladies, they have a following, with people, you know, in other states. So we have people, I have friends that's in New York that has domestic violence shelters and, you know, domestic violence organizations in New York and Washington, D.C., everywhere, New Jersey, Michigan, Indiana, they're everywhere. Missouri. Yeah, we have friends everywhere. South Carolina, North Carolina.
Okay.
Wherever you are.
I have a question.
Good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Minister Lady Love. So I have a question, Janine. How did you keep the gentleman from coming, and I'm using that term loosely, from coming after you again? Did he go to jail for, you know, choking you, or, you know, how did you stop him from looking for you?
That's a good question. After my situation happened, I went back to Chicago, he didn't come back looking for me. What happened was, after that happened, I don't know how long it was or whatever, but I did find out that he had moved to Columbus, Ohio, which is where his dad stays. And he had, I guess, started dating this young lady, and he started putting his hands on her, so she had him arrested. But what happened was, I guess once they looked at his record, they saw that he still had an open case in Atlanta for me. So what happened was, I got a call from a Columbus, Ohio attorney or district attorney, I think one of them, and they had, asked me, verify who I was, and I said, yeah, this is me. And they was telling me that they were calling from Columbus, Ohio. They told me the story, asked me, did I know him? I said, yeah. So they was telling me that he was going with this other girl and he put his hands on her. But they said that they knew that she was not going to press charges on him. So they said the case against me was still open. So what happened was, I ended up going down there and, yeah, put him away. I testified against him, put him away. But they gave him 15 years.
Wow, congratulations.
Which he had to do.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing your story and for turning your pain into your purpose and just for the work that you're doing now to help other people, from your experiences and what you've gone through. So I applaud you and I thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
Today.
You're so welcome.
I bless you.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. Anybody that will listen, I will tell it.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Minister Joanne. That was a really good question. Anybody else have a question, comment, concern? All right. Blog Talk Radio. 514.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Peace and blessings.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for sharing your story. I give thanks and praise to God that you are able to move forward and, like the previous caller says, to turning your pain into your purpose. For our young ladies out here, when you try to encourage them to let them know that, if they put their hands on you one time, they're going to put their hands on you again. How do you really, convey that over to our young ladies? And can I also say that to our young men as well? Because they may too experience it by the hands of their lady as well. So how do we convey that over to our young ladies and our young men that if they do it once, they're going to do it again? They're like, oh no, it was just that one time. It's never going to happen again. How do they be convinced them to say that, it could and it will happen again?
Well, a lot of people, honestly, are so blinded by love, too. It's like the first time it happens. I know I've said it before, and I'm pretty sure it's a lot of people on here that said it as well, that I wish I wish somebody would put their hand on me, because if somebody put their hand on me, I'm going to do Blase Skippy or whatever. But when the first time it happens to you, it kind of throw you back, like you kind of like in shock, like basically like with me, I had to ask myself, did he just put his hands on me? And so you get the I'm sorry, I'm not gonna do it no more, and then you be so blinded by love. When they say, when I was a teenager, my mom used to always say, love make you do stupid things. I could never understand that.
But now that I'm older, I see love will make you do some things that you never would have thought you would do that's totally out of your character. But because you are identifying this situation as love, not knowing that love is not supposed to hurt and love is not supposed to leave you with no bloody nose or no black eye or nothing like that, so you just do what you can just to pacify this person, just to make this person be okay so this person won't hit you again. That's what you're saying in your head, but not knowing that if it, like you said, if it happened once, it's going to happen twice, it's going to happen again. And then like with the young lady that told me about the play fight went real quick to a real fight. And when it went to a real fight, she didn't know how to defend herself because she was so used to playing with this guy and you know, doing everything. He's the cutest guy in the high school. You know how the girls are, the cutest girls guy in high school. And everybody want him. And if I don't do what he say, then he going to leave me and he going to be with somebody else. No, it's not okay. It's really not okay. It got to the point where I had spoke at a school a couple of years ago, and I had old pictures of what, I don't have them now, but I had old pictures of what happened to me, like in stages. It went from this, it went from that, and then I was doing a visual look on my body, like it went from my body being totally clear with no marks or no bruises or nothing like that to this, to that, to this, to that. I literally have a story on my body alone without me even talking about what happened to me, honestly. It just you just have to realize that, yeah, it's going to happen again. I don't care how many times he tell you I'm sorry. I don't care how many times he tell, well, you made me, and if you would did this, and now you started it. No, 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 you're not to blame. You're not to be ashamed. Is you just, like I said earlier, you just have to realize that this is not, this, it's not. So a lot of the girls that, you know, that we talk to, and like you say, guys too, because guys do the same thing that we as women do. They make excuses for the young lady that's hitting on them. They are afraid to leave, and they're really not going to say nothing because guys are taught to be macho. Guys are not taught to cry. Guys are not taught to let nobody put their hands on them. So these guys literally act like we do. You know, they give the excuses, and they accept the I'm sorry's and everything. And we had a guy that we helped. His girlfriend literally used to stab him on a regular like it was a sport, just to be honest with you. So, you know, just like with me, the same thing with him, I identify with it because when I was in Atlanta, a lot of wounds, a lot of stab wounds and stuff that I had endured, he wouldn't let me go to the hospital because he knew if I went to the hospital that the police were probably going to be called. He knew that. So he stopped me from going to the hospital a lot. I'm talking about the majority of the times. So I had to end up letting my wounds just heal on their own. And that's probably why I got so many keloids and stuff and marks and war wounds on my body like I do, because I never was stitched properly to heal my wounds so I can heal my life like I was supposed to. And I never did that. So yeah, it takes a lot of talking. It takes a lot of, you know, but we talk to these young men and young ladies, and we get them to understand that, you know, and the majority of the people that the young people that we talk to, they end up leaving, because I mean you got your whole life ahead of you. You really do. I answered your question, did I?
Yes. Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're welcome. That was a good question. Great question. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great God. Morning.
Hey.
Good morning.
How are you?
Great morning, Janine Ingram. And I forgot, I didn't get your name, Janine.
Her name
your poetry
is...
Jameen, what?
Nina Hall.
Nina Hall. Okay. Great, great name, great name. I am Emir, J.R. Price III, and I'm sitting here in this amazing space hearing your story. And I'm glad that's her story, meaning it was something in the past. And as we listen to most stories, we learn from them and change our present and our future. My question is, you healed? Are you healed? What did you do to be healed? And is there a symbol or a sign that we see on the outside that this amazing healing has taken place?
Yes, I have healed. It took me, I'm not going to lie to you, it took me years to heal, because once I got out of that situation, like I said, it happened so fast and it was so drastic till I would, like if somebody raised their hand to me, I would jump. Oh, I went through a jumping phase for a really, really, really long time. I just kind of like stayed single to myself, because it wasn't the fact that I hated all men or anything like that because of what he did to me. I just needed to learn how to love myself, because I was starting to hate myself to who I was starting to become, because I went from this real nice, humble lady to this, you know, who was on her square, who was a manager at Three Circle K's in Atlanta, who had it going on, who had a car, who was just jazzy, and you couldn't tell me nothing. You know what I mean? So I went from that to this lady that was like, that was shriveled up, that would, you know, if someone raised their voice at me, I would start crying. Because like I said, if you raise your arm too much or get too close to me, I would jump. It was like a mental, you know, for me, mentally, I had to heal myself. What I did was I started praying more. I went, and my dad is a pastor. I went to talk to my dad, you know, more, and I talked to other pastors. I just started praying, and then, like I said, I do my poetry. A lot of people do not believe this, but this is a true story. My poetry literally was my healing, because what I couldn't say to people, or I was ashamed or afraid to say to people, I literally would just write it on my paper. And then I would just, you know, write, and I kept journals. I kept notebooks of poetry. And after a while, it's like I started getting out more, like going to, you know, different open mics and performing my poetry, and started, you know, talking to other women. And then I had friends that would introduce me to other women that were, you know, went through domestic violence. So we were like, I want to say compare stories, but we would tell our stories, and I'd be like, wow, that's what I went through. And they'd be like, yeah, and that's what happened to me. So it was like I was able to, you know, relate to other women and other women's stories. And through that, like now I write plays. I still do my poetry. I have a play out that's called Purple that's literally about my life, about what I went through, you know, in that situation. And with that, we, you know, have like different survivors and stuff to come and tell their story. So we're able, you know, I'm able to give that platform so others can come and, you know, and share and know that it's okay to share. So that's, like I said, that's what really healed me, honestly, is my poetry. I didn't go to any counseling or anything like that. I didn't go to no therapy or nothing like that. That literally was my therapy.
Are you in a relationship now?
Yes, I am.
Yes.
I am married. I am in a relationship now. I've been with my husband for 12 years, and we are married. We got married October 4th, 2015. Yes. So God has been good to me.
He is an amazing
person. All right.
Yes, awesome. God has been good to
awesome.
Me.
So I guess you had to go through. You had to go through the wilderness to get to your Canaan, huh?
Woo! Talk about it. I'm telling you, I had to. Oh my God!
Right.
I really did.
Peace and blessings to you.
I had
I'm
to
grateful.
Go.
Peace and blessings, and I'm grateful.
Oh, thank you so much. God bless you.
All right. That's a good question. Thank you, Amir. Any more questions, comments, or concerns? All right, family. Well, Janine, we want to thank you for coming to tell your story. We want to thank you for doing your event on Saturday where people can come and use that platform to tell their stories, share their gifts. And I pray your event is more amazing than you can ever think, ask, or imagine.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I receive that. Thank you.
Can you give us the information to the event again?
I sure can. It's this Saturday, May 27th, from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. It's going to be at Living Clean Entertainment. The address is 1539 South Pulaski in Chicago. Again, it's 1539 South Pulaski in Chicago. If you want, I have a flyer on Facebook, and up under Facebook, I'm Janine, J-A-N-I-N-E, Nina, N-I-N-A, Janine Nina Hall. So, yes, you can Facebook me and learn more about the performance, the concert this weekend.
All
and
right.
It's my birthday.
Happy
it's
birthday.
My birthday. Yay. Thank you. Yes, 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 yes. I am so happy.
All right. Well, Nina, we want to thank you for coming to stopping by the Love Journey to remind us about your event that's coming up on Saturday. Remind us to be mindful and to remind us that, you know, to keep our love out for all the beautiful people that's going through their journeys. And I volunteer in a lot of domestic violence shelters and human trafficking shelters. And the one thing that I like to leave our listener audience today is, you know, we really never know people's story. You never know what someone is going through. So I will always remind you to send and give love, even when people are not acting in according to a way that you think they should, or they're acting out in a way that makes you feel like, oh, my God. Sometimes people have a story behind all of that. So just send love. I remember seeing a lady who used to come to the shelter. She worked at a bank. She was a beautiful sister. And before she came, when there was nicer things, she couldn't come to the shelter. She would, you know, she literally had a nice car, so she had all her clothes and stuff in the car. And she would go in the bathroom and in the gas stations and take a shower and go to work. You never know. People are homeless even then when they have jobs. So I just want you to know today, family, pray for the people when they seem not to have the type of personality or loving energy that you think they should. They might be the ones that really need our love today. So show some love and kindness, even when a person doesn't seem to deserve it. Send it anyway. Show them love anyway. Show them kindness anyway. Thank you, Janine, Nina Hall, again. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for being who you are. And I pray your birthday is all you wanted to be and more. Thank you for being a guest.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you.
I know you got to get to work.
No, actually, I'm off today. I don't go back to work until Tuesday.
Oh.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh.
Hallelujah.
Oh, great. Look,
oh, wow.
Have a great
yes,
day.
I don't go back until Tuesday. Thank you. I will.
Mm-hmm.
I will.
Oh, by the way, I'm just super excited that you came and shared. I hope you're there. You know, I probably won't make it, so because I'll be all the way in Linwood speaking at a cancer survivor. I'm the guest speaker and MC on Saturday, and it's all the way south, 200. So, you know, I probably won't make it, but I just want to say, you know, I'll be there in spirit, and I'll send you lots of love, and I'll definitely send you a donation to support your efforts and what you're doing.
Thank you so very much. Yes, thank you so much. So if you can make it, that's fine. If not, I will definitely, definitely understand. So anybody on here that wants to come, please come and enjoy yourself, because it is going to be so, we're just going to be packed with food and fun. We're just going to have so much fun. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
And I love you, my
again,
sister.
Thank you. I love you too, Janine. You did a great job, like normal. So I'm going to leave us with The Power Is Within, which is written by the Science of the Mind. And I want to remind us that the power is within. And sometimes we forget when we're looking at the seemingly appearances to stop and go within. Because the physical plane sometimes can have us confused. It says your power is within. The quote today is by Eleanor Roosevelt. You always admire what you really don't understand. And on page 33 in a book called This Thing Called You by Ernest Holmes, it says, you do not pray this power into existence. Your use of it is not a prayer to the power, but a recognition of it. Put you on. And so the reading is coming from The Science of the Mind. Can you think of someone who seems to have a blessed life? There are people in the world that can seem and appear to be impervious to anything negative. Their lives seem to be hardwired to produce only good, success, prosperity, and you wonder how they do it. My grandma Esther used to say my grandfather could fall into a bucket of slop and still come out smelling like a rose. Well, you know that it wasn't exactly what she said, but frankly, but for the purpose of this magazine, it would suffice. You get the idea, right? The truth is that Grandpa Mac just expected to get his way, usually made a tiny sum in the process. He normally got what he wanted. There are also the popular stars we term an overnight success. With few exceptions, no one achieves celebrity without study, hard work, and perseverance. The seemingly overnight success probably took years for those people to realize, but that determination is exactly what Grandpa Mac had, too. He never gave up. You see, each one knew success was up to them. They weren't looking for a handout. They looked within and found the strength to move forward. You see, we can, too. All the power we need to create a life worth living is right within us. What have you been striving after far too long without results? Is there an action, no matter how small, that you can take today, moving you closer to the success you seek? You see, the power is within, but it only works if you work it. The affirmation today is, I believe in the power within me. I believe in the power within me. Spirit guides my every step, and I am in complete alignment with my good. Thank you, God. I believe in the power within me. Spirit guides my every step, and I am in complete alignment with my good. Wow, that's the reading of The Science of the Mind. Thank you, God. I just want to remind each and every one of you that you are a gift from God. Thank you, Minister Joanne. That was a great question. Thank you, beautiful Jackie, for that great question. Thank you, Janine, Nina Hall, Emir, J. Otto Price. Thank you, each and every one of you, for showing up today, reminding each and every one of you that love is a choice. So choose love and remember not to just dream, but live your God-sized dreams. Family, you are the only one who can do what you've been called to do the way you've been called to do it. You see, there's that special sauce, that special, special sauce that's inside of you that nobody can do the way you can do it. Dream, but live your God-sized dreams today. Dreams have a funny way of prevailing when we allow them to do what they do. And I'm going to tell you the definition of dreams. Dr. Johnny Coleman always told us that dreams was God knocking at our heart, asking to express itself through us. So let your dream shine today.
There's nothing stronger or more powerful than a dream. Even in darkness, dreams have an infinite capacity to see light. They outlive pain. They outlast heartbreak. They overcome doubt. They forget imperfection. They cannot be beaten, broken, or taken. Dreams fight. They persevere. They go on. Because determination will always trump disappointment. Desire will always triumph over defeat. And dreams, dreams will always prevail.
It's the brand new heavy right here on the Love Journey. Never give up, family. Never give up. Never give up, family. Thank you, Janina Nina Hall. Happy birthday. All right. Thank you. Have a wonderful day. See you tomorrow on Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe with Chastity A. Wells and Janine reading the book Abundance Now. Thank you for tuning in with Janine and Ingram today.